much. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Enjoyed that testimony, Brother James. And that's a long time with that boy now. And someone said the Christian life is not measured in years, but it's measured in decades. You'll catch that later on tonight. And there you stop, quit having problems, welcome to heaven. Let me say it to you again. The day you stop having problems, welcome to heaven. Somebody deal with a sinner coming down the aisle right now. Look like a bossy wife. And this morning I told you what to do, but tonight I'm trying to teach you how to do it. And I don't have a light on. I'm still learning things about the Christian life. And the word Christian in German means little Jesus. And I try to be, I don't get to be a good Baptist, but I still try to be a good Christian. Amen. If I'm the right kind of Christian, I'll be the right kind of husband. Amen. You better amen me. We'll stay here till 12 o'clock. If I'm the right kind of Christian, I'll be the right kind of pawpaw. You put your Christianity above everything else. You put your Christianity, you judge everything you do by your Christianity. That Bible said in Acts chapter 16, I guess over there, he said the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. It was a derogatory word. They were making fun of them, but it stuck with them. And I live amongst 250,000 Muslims up in Dearborn, Michigan. I can give 100 tracts to 100 Mormons, Muslims, 99 will take them. I can give 100 tracts to Catholics and 5 will take them. Those Muslims are hungry for the gospel. And they got, I just honk my horn as I go by. I just keep my horn on when I'm going through the red light, you know. My friend, Brother Bill Grady, went through Dearborn a couple of years ago. They had the horn on, all that Equin stuff on. He rolled down his windows and put on the Marines marching band. Bum, 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 bum. He had it full blast, man. I said, you're going to get us martyred for Jesus. But, hey, that's that world out there. It's coming. I know it's coming soon. I'm not going through the tribulation. I know it's coming soon. We're going to get out of here. Amen. You think you're going to the trib? You go ahead and trib all you want to. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Amen, Brother Jack. I'm a Ruckman out. Amen. God bless. That's all I'll say about that. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about faith. Why is it tonight we can trust God with our soul, but we can't trust him with our body? I'm going to say it to you again. We can trust him with our soul when we got saved, but we can't trust him how we live. I'm going to talk to you about four words tonight, and the just shall live by faith. The just, that's us. The just shall live by faith. My mentor tried to teach me that, and he said, Jack, he said, faith. He said, one day I'm going to lay down my faith, and I'm going to see sight. Whew. One day we're going to understand why it all happened. I don't understand why my little niece and nephew were killed in a gang fight in Detroit in 1965, 3 and 4 years old. They burned alive. One of these days we'll understand. But right now it's by trusting. Right now it's by faith. It's by faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tonight, and I won't preach to you long. I know you got a lot going on here, and so I just wanted to give you some things to think about tonight, and it's a joy to be here with you. I didn't plan this week. I got over here, and I got to see my Amish guys this week, so I said, I wonder where's a good church around Delaware. Where can I go? And so I'll be here, okay? And so I'll be seeing them tomorrow, and one of my young men, I think Brother James knows him, his name is Isaac, and I went to Shady Maple a couple years ago. And Isaac was there, and he yelled at another Amish guy, and they started talking Dutch. And the guy comes out and said, are you Jack Patterson? I said, yes, sir. He said, I used to be in your program. I said, yeah, your last name is Yoder. You're from Napanee, Indiana. And Isaac said, I was in the gray dorm in Washington with that guy right there. Both of them were both in the program. And this guy, Isaac, is now, Shady Maples, has now started a men's home. Isaac talked to him and said, hey, I know a guy that taught me how to, he said, what do you do at a men's home? He said, I don't know, you feed them good, work them hard, and put the Bible on them. He said, well, we can do that. There's a men's home in Lancaster, Pennsylvania right now because of a guy who came to the ranch. He's Amish. He's on the board of directors. He said, you got to teach them how to get to the next level. I said, let me see the place. I walked in there. Shady Maple gives all their food to them every day. I said, let me see the kitchen. That's the hot spot. Two places to help a man, preaching and food. And that, well, food and preaching. I'm not sure what order it is. And I go in there, brother, open that. I said, oh, that's the problem here. Lobster, ribeye steak. The whole refrigerator was packed. I said, you got to put that aside. You can't give them that every day. you spoil them. And the guys were all hearing it. Hey, man, what are you doing? I said, you want a steak and ribeye? You owe me a chapter. Memorize a chapter of the Word of God. And I preached about 20 of them there. And they said, hey, man, can we go with you? I got to talk about the dispensation, the grace of God. You're saved by faith. You can. I said, you go to hell when God dies. In other words, they thought they can lose their salvation. I quoted my friend E.V. Hill. He said, hey, man, the old black preacher. He said, there's two things that God can't do. God can't lie and God can't die. I like what he said also about Abraham. He said, Abraham won nothing till God put the ham on him. Amen. Yeah, man. And all those guys got around to that night in the Bible study. I just gave him a testimony. I used to do drop acid when I was about 9 years old. I saw green elephants for about 3 months. But then one day the Lamb of God came inside me. And with all my foibles and all my mistakes and all that junk, and God tried to clear all the cobwebs out of my head and yours, he said, would you live for me? Would you live for me? Would you do something for me? And I told you, down at Palafox Street, down at PBI, going down there every Saturday night, 15, 10, 5, and I looked by me one night and there was nobody there. The Lord said, this is your work, Jack. This is what you're going to do the rest of your life. Been doing it for 46 years now. What about some of you young bucks? What are you going to do with your life? Who's going to be the next pastor around here? You want to pay the price? It'll cost you. It'll cost you. It'll cost you time and effort. You know, the word addiction is mentioned one time in the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 16:15. And Paul said, they've addicted themselves to the ministering of the saints. You want to help somebody, you've got to put time and attention to it. Time and attention to it. Let me preach to you a little bit tonight. Are we doing all right? Amen. I got a friend of mine. He says, are we doing all right? I don't give a flip if we're doing all right. I'm still going to preach to you, bless God. I hate when he does that. I should probably tell his name. Last name is Skipper. First name is Phil. Amen. Look over 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, now I talk fast. You have to listen fast. I talk fast, eat fast, but I sleep slow. I get up nowadays 4 o'clock every morning. I go to the bathroom, go back to bed. Amen. Amen. Ben, I tell you what, when you get old, you don't need an alarm clock. That body aches. Time to get up. Time to get up. Oh, my goodness. And furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore then, we beseech you, old English for beg, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us to how you ought to walk and to please God, so would you abound more and more. Take your Bible and go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm talking about pleasing God tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. One of my boys one time I was teaching Bible, he said, Brother Jack, who's that Italian guy in the Bible? I said, the Italian guy? He said, yeah, that guy named Malachi. Malachi. Look at Hebrews 6. We're told to please God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, let's hurry up here. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'm talking about pleasing God, and God wants us to please him. And he says, only by faith. It's by faith. Amen. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, look at verse number 20, two verses. Romans 14, look at verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that cometh not himself in the thing that which he alloweth. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. It don't mean going to heaven. I mean hell. Something is your body. Because he eateth not of faith. Watch it. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I'm talking to you here tonight. We got people from all walks of life here tonight. And in a Christian life, and I meant very much what I said the other day, if I told a guy, if I can't lay my fork down, I shouldn't ask you to lay your crack pipe down. Hello. You don't like the way you look? Change it. I say it to you again. You don't like the way you look? Change it. Now, some of you are ugly. You can't change that. Amen. Brother John. Amen. And Brother John got a face only a mother can love. Amen. God bless you. But I thank God for Brother John when he's sleeping. Amen. I'm talking to us tonight. I'm talking tonight that we live a whole life and we never trust God for it. We go through life with all our things, we're all planned out and everything else. And I want God to lead me. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. Four times in the Bible, and the just, and the just, and the just, and the just shall live by faith. God wants you to take your hands off your life, and he wants you to trust him. You let your boy go to war, I guarantee you, you can't touch your boy. You can't see your boy. You can't talk to your boy. But you can get a hold of God. Say, God, would you touch my boy? Would you protect him? I used to pray for my nephew. I said, Lord, wherever my nephew's at, protect that boy. He said, their bullets bounced off his helmet and never went through. Probably from the prayers of God's people. I want my guys not just to get a hold of my preaching antics and my humor. I want them to get a hold of God, to get a hold of Bible knowledge. You put something on, put truth on the inward part. You put truth on the inside. It'll change your life. Hey, a good man, a good woman cannot stay wrong long. You put the truth of the Word of God inside you, and I kid you young folks all the time, no boys to your 25, guys, no girls, just cutting up. I'm watching your attitude. I want to see you mess up your life. Stay away from that edge. Stay away from the edge. Clean up your mind. David said in Psalm chapter 40, he said, there's innumerable evils compass me about. That's why inside your mind you get all the junk moving here and moving here, and we got way too much images going through our brain. Called pictures on the phone. Amen. He said, and the just, hey, I need something from God. I got to put some faith on it. It's not my winsome personality. Amen. You got something coming on this week. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take you to please God. He said, the only way you're going to please me is by faith. Amen. Did you trust those chairs when you look at them when you sat down? No, you just trusted them. Getting quiet in here. You want that boy or that girl to turn out right? When was the last time you put some faith on them? Whatsoever is not a faith is sin. See, we get on the guys for drinking. We get on them for drugging. We get on them for stealing. We get them on for cussing. We get them on for adultery. We get them on for murder. We get them on for evil thoughts. We get them on for glutton. We get them on for lying. We get them on for greed. We get them on for backslidden. We get them on for pornography and the bad music. But what about not having faith? Getting quiet. Don't die on me now. Oh, you know what? He said, whatsoever not of faith. Hey, I can preach for the next 20 years and never study. I'm good at what I do. I practice what I do. But I need the power of God upon what I'm saying. I want the Holy Ghost of God on what I'm saying out there. Amen. I go to prison. I was in the federal prison, about 75 guys, and I was scared. Well, how do you reach those guys? You don't let them know you're scared. I felt like saying, I'm old, shook up. And I got over there, and the guys on the back row were checking me out. I just said, hey, you guys like what you see? We're just looking at you. You different, man. I said, okay. I dropped my voice back. Okay, man. Hey, I'm here to preach to you. Amen. And they come up to us after the service, you know, about 45-inch biceps and so forth. He said, hey, man, can you come back? Can you come back? Can you come back? You come back? Why? I was identifying myself with them. I put some faith on it. I know that I cannot do it by myself. And I know he knows that he can't do it by himself. God's got to work in us. You want to have a good home? Let God run it. You want to have good kids? Let God run it. Hey, bathe them in prayer and put some faith on them. Amen. Amen. And the just shall live by faith. You want a job? Ask God for one. Amen. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a job. So why do your pants keep falling down? It's hard to keep a pair of pants on a funnel, that's why. I don't know if that's faith or eating less. Man, this stuff, Vegemite, vegan. I'm not a vegan. I'll sneak down some chicken and a little hamburger meat in a second. Amen. God bless you. I cheat a little bit today, all right. Amen. You know what? If I get up and preach and not have faith, I'm preaching in sin. I'm trying to help you tonight in your Christian life. It ain't you. It ain't me. James, it ain't me. It says that, God, when I come to chapel and preach to these guys, would you give me what I need to preach to these guys? Would you teach me what I need to preach to them, God? Holy Ghost, when I'm talking to them, will you talk to them too? He said, yeah, I just want you to get out of the way. I'll take care of it. See, our whole Christian life is we think we can do it all because we're good at what we do. Nuh-uh. That's the fleshly part. But I want the spiritual part. You know, if God opened your eyes tonight in this room, your hair would turn pure white with floating in this room, the spirit world. I'm glad he doesn't open our eyes to see it. Man, I bless God. I get doing things, and the Lord will tell me to do something. And I look, I'm not goofy. I don't get radical. But I want to know that I sense the presence of God in my life. I want to know if I get convicted about something to get it right, put it on the blood. I remember one time Brother said he's a doctor like you put whipped cream on an onion. Amen. Brother Charles Spurgeon of England was walking across the street, Brother Ryman, and he stopped in the middle of the road and bowed his head and prayed. They said, Mr. Spurgeon, why were you praying in the middle of the road? He said, a cloud came between me and my God, and I couldn't wait to get to the other side, but I had to take care of it in the middle of the road. Sometimes we get a cloud comes from this old world between us and our God. And it's got to come out of there. My nephew told me when he was in Afghanistan two tours, and that the battle was on, and they were in the big battles over there, and he's 6'8". And Brother Jim Binger told him, he said, John, whenever you're in a meeting, you guys are talking, you take a knee. Because you're 6'8", you're a big target. He said, Uncle Jack, he said, I got over there, and I got in those old bunks, and my roll-off music started coming back into my mind. He said, I'd hear Dr. Ruckman preaching just like I was at Brent Baptist Church or PBI. He said, sometimes I didn't have the best testimony amongst the men. Then he said, I just stood up one night and said, fellas, I'm John Patterson. I'm a preacher. I haven't been living right. But some of you guys are going to die and go to hell. But I want to dedicate my life tonight because I want to help you guys. He said a lot of them got saved that night. He said they would go out in the battlefield. Hey, they called him John the Baptist. Hey, John, come here. Well, you got to pray for us. He told me, he said, Uncle Jack, I know God brought me home. I didn't bring myself. And he was good at what he did. All I'm trying to tell you tonight, I need things from God, I ask God, and I want to get things from God. I remember one night the wife told me, she said, the RV broke down that he bought, and happy trails to you until we meet again. I know it's going to go, Jack, why didn't you tell me that? Oh, you didn't ask. And I got over there, man, and by the way, I don't mind me suffering. I don't want the queen bee suffering, amen. The consequences are very effective. And she, the air conditioning went out, the air went out, the stairs went out, the washing machine wasn't working, the dryer wasn't working, the washing machine wasn't working, the refrigerator was out, everything was out. Even the dark was going, barking around, going nuts. So I said, man, I got to get out of here. I said, I know what to do. I'm not a prayer warrior, but I know how to pray. I walked outside and over in Dearborn and just got back. She's got a cooler there to run the refrigerator. I'm tired of calling her. Hey, I hate to be a wang. Would you help me? Shut up. I'm fixing myself. I'll get some druggies in here or something. I miss my druggies, brother. I call them druggies. And I got over there and I said, I put my hand up in the air And when I'm really desperate, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you. I'd have my hand, I was crying. I said, will you fix this RV for me? I don't mind going through junk, but I don't want that little girl to go through a bunch of junk with this. It's all I have, and I'm doing the best I can. Would you help me? I'm putting some, I need this fixed now. Would you do it for me? And I prayed there for a little bit. Got back inside. My wife's in there and said, where'd you go? Oh, I had to take care of some business. About 2 days later, we went to Mount Airy, North Carolina. I hate it when missionaries and evangelists come in town, they tell you everything was broken on their car or truck and whatever. I didn't say a word. I got in there and I kept thinking, you know, and I knew Brother Tom Dell from Roloff. He's an ace mechanic, and I asked him a few things. I said, no, I said, I ain't going to say nothing. That was Sunday, but Saturday, we got in on Saturday night, got fans in the windows, no air, washing it, working, had to go in there and wash the clothes, had a nice rig. We got down the Thursday night. I walked up to the pastor. I said, hey, pastor. I said, you know, I got this big RV out there. I'm not a mechanic, but I said, I know how to fix it, but I just don't know what to do. He said, well, Jack, what's wrong with it? I said, I got the washing machine ain't working, the air conditioning ain't working. He said, hold it right there. He said, see that old man over there? He said, I want you to go tell him what you just told me. He said, and tell him you knew Lester Roloff. I said, well, whatever that means. I go over there, and this old guy over there, 75 years old, had arms like broomsticks. Little old skinny guy. And I said, hey, brother, I'm Brother Patterson. I have a home for men, whatever. I've done men's for kids, men, women, girls, boys for years. And I got this 98 Monaco out there, and I used to work for Brother Roloff. He said, who? I said, Lester Roloff from Texas. And he tells his buddy, hey, come on over here. He's 75 years old. Looks like he just got out of a nursing home. He said, you need to hear this. I'm over there. I said, what am I doing? I'm talking to these old men. They're about ready to go to a nursing home, and I'm stuck down here, and I got committed myself. I said, you know, I'm in a jam, and I just don't like it. I don't like the uncertainty. I get over there. Both of them come over. He said, now tell us about Brother Roloff. I said, yeah, I worked for him for about 3 years. You work at the lighthouse on the intercoastal. Yeah, I work on the intercoastal. You can see that on YouTube called Freedom's Last Call. He said, let me look at your RV after the service. They come by after service. He looked out there on the left side with a water. Yeah, you got a water heater. I can fix that. Well, I know you can fix it, but how much ching ching is it going to cost me? I got a credit card for such a time as this. So does my wife. She has five of them. They're hid. And then she comes inside, and my wife, you have to know Karen, and she said, come in. She said, come on in, fellas. I got you a list. I said, Karen, now come on. They just want to look at your stuff. She said, ask me anything you want. I will tell you what needs to be fixed. And they're looking at her, talking and cutting up. She showed them the refrigerator. She showed them the air conditioners. She showed them the washing machine. She showed them the step and on, and the lights are out. And he said, we can fix all this. And I said, okay, when, where, and how? I said, where are you from? No, he said, where are you going after you leave this meeting? I said, well, let me ask you this. Where do you live? You always get the answer first before you commit to something. Use your head, a woodpecker does. He said, I live outside of Jacksonville, Florida. I said, glory to God, hallelujah for the cross. I'm going to Jacksonville tomorrow. Hello, 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 hello. Prayed in Detroit, broke down in North Carolina, we're hooking up in Jacksonville, 7 miles apart. You figure, do the math. That's God. He fixed my air conditioners. He fixed my water heater. My wife had a list just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The guy said, is there anything else, Mrs. Patterson? I'm saying, no. She said, yes. She said, don't listen to my husband. You talk to me. This is my baby here. She threw me under the bus. I said, where's this money coming from? He said, we have a church that sold, and we took the money, over $300,000. He said, we're putting it all to missionaries, and you're getting the last bit of it. He said, we love Brother Roloff. We want to help you. He said, if you ever break down again, I'm an RV dealer. You come by here, and I'll try to help you. I told that to about five missionaries. Where's he live? Where's his number? I forgot his number. I don't know where it's at. That's right. Don't tell all these missionaries. They'll come here. Wonder where I got that at. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you. How about the next meeting I was going to? God had a couple there who loved somebody that I loved. And we connected spiritually. And I didn't ask for it. What do you need tonight? Hey, I've been there preaching. I've been up here preaching, and I was preaching by myself. I've been there. I don't like that. I want the Holy Ghost working through me. I know he's talking to you tonight. How about when you teach Sunday school, you don't even study for it? I used to have a guy back in the factory. We used to make the M60 tanks. I made about 2,000 of them. And I would get preacher boys from Hiles Anderson College, and they would come to sermon with a time card. I mean, they wrote the sermon out when they got to the factory. And we'll listen to them. They put no preparation into it. And yet we go, but Brother Shaq, I want my life to be flamboyant, and I want to be, okay. Hey, I'm saying day by day, with each passing moment, shrink thy fight. Hey, it's a day by day Christian walk that I put this old flesh down, and I say, God, I need you. I need you to walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I'm your own. And I got some needs in my life. And God, would you help me? I'm here for you. He said, okay, Jack, take your hand off the situation. Let me fix it for you. 2 weeks before my raid, my brother committed suicide. Whew, that was a rough one. Buried him. What I have to deal with now is his four kids. His four kids. Just about every one of them has come to church and they've gotten saved. Amen. They go home and tell their mom. Now, Uncle Jack says we don't have to talk to Mary. Amen. I said, no, you come straight to Jesus. Yeah. I led a Catholic priest one time, and I led him to Christ out of Mexico, and led about 40 kids down there to Christ, led the priest to Christ, and he said, Jack, I trust Jesus, but Mary's a still good woman. I said, look, as long as you got Jesus, he'll take care of you. Yeah. We're at the airport. I'm saying goodbye to come back up the stage. And I didn't have suspenders back in those days. I wore sandals about. They kind of hug your belly, you know what I'm saying? Well, this guy hugs me, but he hugged me too tight. And he had my arms by my side. I said, hey, don't hug too tight. Don't hug. And I couldn't get my, and he can't hardly speak any English. Oh, Jack, I love you. You taught me about Jesus, and I get to go to heaven. Oh, I get to go. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, I lied. All of a sudden, my pants fell down. Man, they come tumbling, and behind me were about 40 Chinese people from China. Oh, yo, 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 yo. So somewhere in China, there's Brother Jack's backside somewhere. But I'm telling you, when I got on that plane, it was a joy to know that I gave him a This Is Your Life track in Spanish, and he trusted Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I was there at that orphanage all week long. There were 200 kids. Listen to me. Over 50 of them were deformed. 3 sets of teeth, 3 arms, 3 legs. Very gross looking. I had to push that aside. And I just start singing with them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for... And they start singing with me. And I say, hey, teach me a song in Spanish. They went, Alleluia, 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 Gloria Deus, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The roughest time in my Christian life in 94, that's all I'll say. And me and those kids start singing. I looked behind me, a little village, and I counted over 1,000 candles. People would come out of the little village with their little candle. They wanted to see what was going on. And I come there to be a blessing, to get a blessing. And the Lord literally just changed my whole life around. I went back to that orphanage for the next 5 years, a Catholic, Roman Catholic orphanage. They led an independent Bible-believing Baptist. Whole chapel every day, no questions. We bought them refrigerators, had a corporation pay for everything. Said, you need more money? Yeah, send me another $5,000. I'm having my Barachi bands in there. They're eating goat. I ain't eating no goat. No. I want Bullwinkle. A friend of mine, Bill Grady, went hunting one time. He caught a button buck. He put the two horns on the 3x5 card. They were so small. I said, you didn't shoot Bullwinkle, you shot Bambi. Wait a minute. The roughest time of my Christian life, and God sent me to a Catholic orphanage. And the priest called the company that sent me down there that I was working with. He said, Jack's a good maestro, good teacher. Can he stay down here? They offered me a big salary just to stay there and teach those kids Bible every day. I said, no, I'm going back home and rebuild my men's dorm up in Othello, 94. Remember Fred Sanford? Dun, 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 dun. This guy looked like Fred Sanford up in Othello. He gave me an old farmhouse. Over 300 men come through that farmhouse. We got 40 guys today in full-time Christian service. 17 of them went to PBI. It may be because the preacher got right in his own heart, said, God, I've been living by my stinking flesh and my wit and my humor, but not you. Lord, would you teach me to live by faith? It isn't that you smoke and drink and cuss and not get along with people. Is you're running on the flesh. You're letting the flesh run everything. God wants you one. He wants you to let the faith in his heart, our faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, let me, I'm about done. When you witness and you don't do it by faith, you're sinning. When you give the missions, when you're church attendant, when you raise your kids, don't do it by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God has a whole life. He said, I want you to do it by faith. What he's saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I want you to learn all you can, get all the facts, but turn those facts into faith. And say, God, I want you to put some faith on these kids and turn out. I pray for my grandkid every day. 12 of them, getting two more from China, 14. I want to memorize their names and memorize their birth dates. And I pray, say, God, get them saved early, God. Save them. And say, God, I pray, God, some of them boys. And Lord, I claim some of them boys from the mission field. 3 and 4 years old. Praying for them now. Oh, he got off a drug. Anybody can get off a dope. That's easy. Live for God. Pray. Read your Bible. Give. Attend church. That's work. That's work. And be consistent in your Christian life. Daddy, let me help you out. Be kind to your kids. Be kind to your wife. Quit talking stupid. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That little girl didn't go on drugs. She went on drugs because of your mouth. She lost her virginity because of your mouth. That's why she went down that road. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. Hey, I used to box my brother John, man, and I cussed him out and gave him the cuss words. And one night he popped me in the jaw. I went through two walls of sheetrock. He came in the room there and he said, hey, Jack, you ever touch me again, I'll stomp you in the ground. And he come back in about 5 minutes later. He said, Jack, I made a bad mistake. I cussed him out again. I was about 14, 6'5", 6'6". Had a filthy mouth. And it comes from a filthy heart. He said, man, I'm a Christian. I can't do that to you. Yeah, you can't do that to me. You're a Christian. I smiled off to him. He just looked at me. He said, I've been wrong. I'll never hit you again. He said, come on, let's go get something to eat. He's crying. They used to call him the brown Tommy Hearns and at the gym. He was so fast. That day to now, my brother and I are so close. But my brother had an anger problem. He got it right with me. See, he tried to change me by the flesh. No, the flesh wasn't my problem. I needed a new man on the inside. My brother got turned around. Had two girls, another boy, another dad. He had to see my brother now, 76 years old. Hey, Jack, I don't know when the rapture's coming, Jack, but stay faithful to Jesus, Jack. Stay faithful to Jesus. Okay, John, I love you. We got a great bond today. But you see, something had to change. He was already saved, but something had to change on the inside. Something has to change on the inside. And the just shall live by faith. Raising your grandkids, leading church, driving a school bus, cleaning the parking lot. I don't care what it is. And the just shall live by faith. Let's stand. I'm done preaching. Father, I pray that you'll bless the invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll take home truth tonight.